Thank you. Okay, you can everyone hear me? Yeah, right, I shall begin then. I'm very nervous, and I was basically the person cancelled, and I was sort of called in at the last minute, but I shall do my best. I'm going to start at the beginning, and actually a quote, which is, when I was born, it was like being kidnapped and sold into slavery. And I think it's a Warhol quote, and that pretty much sums up my formative years. I came into this world, and it was like Jesus Christ. I found everything hard work. I was very scared as a child. It was like being born without skin. I'm extremely sensitive, and everything, all my friends, they seemed to sort of brush off things, and things used to really affect me as a kid. I grew up in a house of addicts. My mum was an addict, my dad was an addict, and my grandparents were. But they were all very functioning. They all seemed to sort of manage to hold down jobs, but they were completely dysfunctional. And I was born very sensitive into this world. I do believe, this I have a genetic disposition to this disease, and I was born with it. But I do think there's certain things, catalysts, life experiences that can sort of awaken that addict behaviour. My childhood stroke teenage years were difficult. My whole life was about putting on an act. The act that, that I was actually supremely confident and I could cope with things, and I did well at things, I had lots of friends. But beneath that, I was a very sort of fragile child. And my teenage years were particularly bad. I described myself as someone who was very angry, quite frightened, belligerent, often rebellious, always getting into trouble, kind of not really sure of themselves. And, I can sort of go on and describe how I felt, but really it was sort of irritable, discontent, and which when I came to my first meeting and I heard someone say that, I thought, that's me. I felt I sort of was running all my life. Whatever came into my life, I was never satisfied. I was judgmental, cynical, critical, a perfectionist. Whatever I had, I tore it apart and eventually kind of destroyed it. And the first time I put drugs into my body, which was quite late, actually, probably because my mum was an addict, and I always promised myself that I would, I'd never use drugs, because she was such a nightmare, such a rageaholic. If she wasn't stoned, she was quite a frightening person to be around. But the first time I put drugs into my body, I suddenly had that sense of, oh my God, where have you been all my life? I felt chilled, relaxed, a part of, comfortable, funny, or all the things I wanted to be. And I believe for a long time that I was born with a chemical imbalance, and drugs somehow fixed that, whatever deficit there was in my head. This is a progressive illness, and I used drugs every day for 20 years. But I'd say the first 10 years of my using, I probably fell into category of, recreational social drug user. It was a very slow progression with me. And I've got to admit, I crossed a lot of boundaries with my drug taking, all the sort of, I'll do this drug, but I won't do that one. And I kind of worked my way through it, really because of wanting to fit in. And a lot of the people I socialised with, to be honest, the more interesting ones and the ones that were fun to be around were taking drugs, and I just loved that whole sort of counterculture subversiveness of taking drugs. And, it was just a laugh. I loved that feeling of being totally out of it, having no responsibilities. If I didn't have any responsibilities and I didn't have to achieve anything or any ambitions, I couldn't fuck them up, I couldn't fail. I wasn't answerable to anyone. The first 10 years, I led a very double lifestyle. I did actually excel academically, and I then had a really great career. But as soon as I stopped working, you know, it was kind of my time. It was drug-taking time. And slowly, over the years, my judgment got clouded by taking drugs. And I made sort of bad decision after bad decision. And I ended up in a series of really abusive, destructive relationships. And I never realised that I had a choice. And one of the saddest things, actually, when I was doing my step work, was the realisation that I could have walked away from those relationships at any time. And I stayed in them because it allowed me to use, you know, my drug of choice in the way that I wanted to. I was very much a victim, and I had no concept of the disease of addiction. I actually went out with a heroin addict for on and off for about 14 years, and an intravenous drug user, and I believed him to be an addict. He sort of fitted the stereotype of a sort of, you know, intravenous heroin user. I actually have never injected drugs. I've done everything else, but I certainly didn't fit into what I thought was an addict. And I was in denial for many, many years about my illness. I knew there was something wrong with me. As our sort of literature says, I ended up, you know, going to the doctor, you know, doing geographicals, doing lots of things to fix the way that I felt. Nothing was ever enough. And if I did get it, I'd rip it apart and analyse it and destroy it, self-destruct. And through my sort of 20 years of using, I think I moved house 13 times. I changed my boyfriend, I changed jobs, I changed pretty much everything. And for a while that sorted me out. But eventually, you know, within an 18-month cycle, I end up in exactly the same place. The last 5 years of my using were very different to the first 15 years. You know, for some reason I had enough energy to sort of control stuff. I sank into a really frightening place, and the obsession and compulsion to use, it sort of tipped scales, and I sort of couldn't work out why. I mean, I guess I never felt drugs were a problem until I tried to stop. And as soon as I tried to sort of cut down or stop, I had this obsessive compulsive behaviour. You know, I ended up, you know, I had so much going for me in my life. I had so many opportunities that I messed up, and you know, I could have done anything I wanted to in many ways. And I ended up using in my flat on my own. If I wasn't using, I was crying, or I was a rageaholic. I became very bitter because my life took a course, the consequences of my drug using. You know, I got to my sort of early 30s, and all the people that I used with in my 20s suddenly did this thing where they either just used at the weekend or stopped using, and I didn't understand that, and I wasn't even pleased for them. I was really quite pissed off because I didn't have anyone to use it anymore, and they started drifting off and getting married and having children, doing weird things like that. And to be honest, I never wanted to do those things. I was quite happy, you know. That was my sort of nightmare, that sort of domestic roses round the door, you know, 2.5 kids. But then suddenly I just thought, well, I'm going to be on my own. And I did end up on my own. And every waking moment, I mean, I got to a point with my drug using that I didn't eat, I didn't sleep, because everything, it was all valuable drug using time. I sat on my sofa, the curtains were closed, the phone was off the hook. You know, I sort of hid in the shadows, and I just sat on my sofa, and I used and I used and I used, until somebody suggested that I went to an NA meeting. And I was, I'd got to the point where I remember looking out of the window one day, and everyone seemed to be getting on with their lives, and I just thought, how the fuck did I end up here? This wasn't how it was supposed to be. I felt very angry and You know, I was a kind of person, you know, I'm quite a small person, and I was a, you know, if somebody sort of knocked me on the tube, you know, some 6'5" bloke, I'd turn around and, you know, end up in some massive argument, and, you know, I don't know how I didn't end up getting beaten up or have the shit knocked out of me, really, because I was very, very, very angry, and I'm very disappointed with my life and very scared, and I just got to that point where if I don't do something about this, I'm just going to, you know, it was going to be a slow, painful death for me. Yeah, I just got to that point where I was, I think I reached a rock bottom. I actually remember going to South America with the last of my savings, and thank you, and I watched the sun come up over Machu Picchu, and that was the moment that I'd always wanted to do this since I was a kid, and I think I had what was a breakdown, and when I came back, I went to my first meeting, sat in the room, you know, looked at the differences, but knew there was so much that I had in common with everyone else in that room. I met my sponsor in the first meeting. She's an incredible lady. You know, she showed me sort of selfless love, compassion. She told me that if I do whatever she tells me, you know, told me, I can stay clean. And I didn't think that was humanly possible. I thought I was different from everyone else. She told me to go to 90 meetings in 90 days, which I did because I was incapable of working at that point. So that, you know, that was I had nothing else to do with my time. She gave me some literature to go and read, and I identified with a lot of that, you know, with most of it. You know, I had nowhere to hide. I couldn't lie to myself anymore. And if someone was giving me a solution, I grabbed it with two hands. I think, you know, going to meetings definitely kept me clean, but I realised that drugs were not the problem. It was my way of thinking, and that made sense because I'd always had this strange way of thinking, and drugs did fix that. You know, step one was very straightforward for me. You know, my life had become utterly unmanageable and chaotic through my drug use, and you know, I fessed up to that. Two and three were really about, you know, the insanity and having some concept of a higher power. And I still struggle with that, but my higher power is something very simple. I tap in every morning to positive energy. You know, it's like walking down a road and smiling at someone and you get a smile back. You know, if you get out of bed, the wrong side and you scowl, you know, that's somebody scowls back. And you know, my higher power is loving, kind, it's positive, it's good. And I needed that because by the time I did my step four and five, you know, I was a real victim in my using. I had so many resentments that I needed something bigger than myself in order to get through that process because I found it really difficult. I plodded through it, and it was a real sort of revelation that I didn't have to carry this massive load on my back, you know, and play the victim card anymore, and see the patterns of behaviour. You know, the 12-step program, it's like, you know, you could spend 10 years in therapy, and you know, this program teaches us about ourselves, why we do things, how we interact with people. It's given me gratitude. It's you know, my using for 20 years, it's, you know, I had such a set way of thinking, I couldn't kind of deviate from it, and it's kind of deprogrammed me, but it's opened my eyes and shown me that I can live life a different way through staying clean, doing the things that were suggested. You know, I have a life now, and that's major. All the things that I wanted in recovery, all the things I wrote down with my sponsor have come true, and that's pretty amazing. I'm in a relationship, I'm married, I have a child. I find life on life's terms really difficult. You know, if I could get away with recreational drug use, I would, but I couldn't. And I do struggle sometimes, you know, just being in the moment. But what I find is, if I stray away from the program, I don't have, you know, contact with my sponsor, and I don't do what's suggested, very quickly I can end up in quite a dark place. And it's an easy payoff for me. You know, I just recommit. And I wish my recovery wasn't like that. You know, I kind of, it's the same old thing, you know, when we're really happy and life's going well, we kind of, you know, we take our will back. And I know what that is now. Sometimes I wake up, I'm angry that I have this disease, you know, that I just kind of want to be normal and kind of get on with my life. But I love recovery. I've made some amazing friends. I'm happy. Yeah, and it's good to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much.